Hello.
This is Tom Scott with the Ford County Record for Wednesday, January 1st, 2025. And on behalf of all of us here at the Radio Reader, I wish you a very happy new year. Very thin paper this week, but we will do what we can with it. First off, on the front page, above the fold, armed robbery at Paxton Variety Liquors, liquor store robbed. Gun-wielding masked men rob Paxton store, flee in gold Malibu. Paxton. Paxton police continue to investigate the armed robbery of a local liquor store. Police Chief Coy Cornett said two masked robbers entered Paxton Variety Liquors at 403 South Railroad Avenue around 6:19 p.m. Friday, December 27th and brandished pistols as they demanded cash from the two clerks on duty. They obtained an undisclosed amount of cash, Cornett said, and soon fled the building. No one was hurt in the incident, which lasted maybe a minute, Cornett said. The robbers left in a gold Chevrolet Malibu, believed to be a mid-2000s model, with no license plates. The police department's Flock safety license plate reading cameras captured images of the car entering Paxton and later leaving southbound on U.S. 45 towards Rantoul. Police continued this week to investigate the armed robbery, which Cornett said appeared to be an isolated crime and not linked to any similar crimes in the area. Both the identities of the two robbers, both black males, remain unknown, Cornett said. Friday's crime was the first armed robbery of a Paxton business since April 18, 2021, when John W. Beck of Mechanicsburg robbed the Village Pantry at 435 South Railroad Avenue while brandishing a club-style weapon. Beck, who stole just shy of $163 and two packs of Marlboro cigarettes in the Paxton crime, is serving a 12-year prison term in connection with that armed robbery and others that occurred in the spring of 2021 at banks and convenience stores across central Illinois. Back on the front page, we have from the Ford County Board, CRP operator agreement eyed for cancellation due to concerns over its validity. Committee recommends termination of contract. Paxton. As it turns out, Ford County Board will consider the cancellation of an agreement that calls for the Lotus Sportsman Club to serve as the nonprofit operator of the county-owned Hatfield Bowen Farm in Button Township once enrolled into the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Conservation Reserve Program. After a lengthy discussion, members of the County Board's Farm Committee voted 3-1 on Friday, December 20th, to advance to the full 12-member board a proposal to terminate the existing operator agreement between the county and the local sportsmen clubs and consider a new one that would be legally compliant. The full board is expected to vote on the committee's recommendation during its next meeting at 6 p.m. Monday, January 13th. Put simply, it's back to square one, said District 2 Board Member Greg Niewall of Rural Lotus Committee's chairman. Committee's recommendation came exactly 2 weeks after the same panel of board members was unable to advance an initial proposal calling for the agreement's termination, with that motion having died due to a lack of a second during the committee's December 6th meeting. During both meetings, Niewall noted the signed agreement's disputed legal validity, plus the likelihood that it would be months before the USDA begins accepting more CRP signups. During the most recent meeting, though, State's Attorney Andrew Killian was present to weigh in as well, providing his own recommendation that the agreement be terminated for legal reasons. According to Niewall, Killian suggested the agreement be terminated because it failed to receive the board's supermajority approval. According to Killian, a supermajority of 9 yes votes was needed to accept the Sportsman Club bid to become the farm's operator. managing the farm in return for 5% of the $267 per acre expected to be collected through CRP. But the board had only 7. The supermajority was required because the agreement was a lease, Killian noted. Killian also noted that despite the USDA's Farm Service Agency recognizing the Sportsman's Club as the farm's operator, the organization is not legally the operator because the agreement is contingent upon CRP sign-up, which has yet to occur. Mr. Killian read several things that are in the current operator agreement that basically state that the Lotus Sportsman Club is, in fact, not the operator until a CRP contract is signed, Niewall said after the meeting. While the committee's intent is for the board to consider a new operator agreement with the Sportsman Club once the existing one is terminated, Niewall noted that it will take 9 affirmative votes for that to happen. If it receives the requisite support from the board, the expectation is that the new agreement would go into effect with the farm's enrollment into CRP in 2025, possibly during the next sign-up period eyed for February. The Sportsman's Club continues to be interested in the opportunity to be the farm's operator despite the continued delays, said Dalek Glazik, a rural Paxson resident who is employed as an agriculture and conservation specialist for Pheasants Forever, which is helping to prepare and maintain the farm for use as a habitat conservation area. They're ready to move forward to fight the good fight, Glazik said of the Sportsman's Club. They want to have this go through. If a new operator contract were to proceed, the county board would likely need to again solicit bids from the prospective farm operators, just as it did early last year when the Sportsman Club was the only bidder. Alternatively, if the county board were to decide not to proceed with a new contract, the board could return the farm to agricultural production. Historically, the farm, like the two others the county owns, has been farmed through cash rent leases with area farmers. Along with Niewald, voting to recommend the operator agreement be terminated were District 1 board member Tom McQuinn of rural Paxton and District 3 board member Garrett Kerber of Gibson City. In dissent was District 2 board member Cindy Erke of rural Roberts. A fifth member of the committee, District 3 board member Sarah Musman of Gibson City, was absent. Notably, Erke and the board's former chairman, Debbie Smith of Paxton, stated in August that they disagreed with Hillian's opinion that a supermajority vote was required to approve the operator agreement. Erke said that, in her own opinion, the document in question did not require 9 votes because it was not a lease, but rather an agreement or contract that had nothing to do with farming. Erke continues to maintain that opinion. Niewall noted that the operator agreement was signed by Smith and sent to the USDA's Farm Service Agency office in Paxton, even though Killian indicated its approval had failed. At the end of the day, everything shows the motion failed, Niewall said. After the December 20th meeting, Niewall stressed the need to make sure everything is done legally moving forward. I just want to know that we are doing everything correctly, period. That's it, Niewall said. We've got to follow all those rules. If the CRP enrollment is pursued, a 127-acre portion of the Hatfield-Bowen farm southeast of Paxton would be put into CRP and restored over time into a native landscape accessible by the public for a variety of outdoor recreational activities, including hunting and bird watching. The entire 157-acre farm, including all 127 of its tillable acres and about 30 acres of non-tillable pasture ground, has already been enrolled into the Illinois Recreational Access Program administered by the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, making it open to the public for hunting on weekends during hunting season via an annual IDNR lottery. When the farm was opened for hunting for the first time in fall of 2023, it quickly became one of the state's most popular hunting sites requested, noted Glazek. It's still one of the more popular public hunting spots within the state, Glazek added. More than 9,000 acres of farmland in Ford County are currently enrolled in CRP, Glazek said. In return for enrolling tillable acreage into CRP, annual payments are given by the USDA to the farm owner. Under the last couple of farm bills, the annual rate has averaged $267 per acre, capped at $300 per acre. For Ford County's Hatfield-Bowen farm, that would equal more than $40,000 annually. The last time the Hatfield-Bowen farm was used for crop production in 2023, it produced 182.25 bushels per acre of corn, according to Newald, noting that the total exceeded the USDA average of 177.3 bushels per acre that crop year. Select area of the farms where fungicide was applied averaged 240 to 265 bushels per acre, Newald added. Also, during the December 20th meeting, Farm Committee reviewed crop yields from 2024 for the two other county-owned farms, the Ford County Nursing Home Farm in Patton Township and the Bowen Grider Farm in Button Township, which are both still being farmed through two-year cash rent leases with Nick Purcell of Purcell Farms. Crop production reports for the two farms, as provided by Purcell, showed that the Ford County Nursing Home produced 212.5 bushels of corn per acre, including an average of 186 to 256 bushels per acre on 81 of the farm's 102.5 farmable acres, while the Bowen Grider Farm produced 60.08 bushels of soybeans per acre, with 101 of its 141.9 farmable acreage averaging 54 to 78 bushels per acre. Also at the meeting, Newell noted that Purcell Farms is now fully compliant with all of its obligations under its cash rent lease agreement for Ford County Nursing Home Farm and the Bowen Grider Farm heading into year two of the lease. 2 weeks earlier, Purcell finally paid the farmland's overdue property taxes plus interest fees to maintain compliance. The early termination of the lease had been listed on the agenda of the County Board's December 10th meeting. The item was removed after Purcell paid the taxes due as required by his lease. In a related matter, Purcell noted that barley was used as a cover crop for the Bowen Grider Farm to help protect the ground from soil erosion. Purcell also noted that he would have trees removed from the farm and would notify neighbors of their removal if growing on their property line. Also at the December 20th meeting, Newald said the county was assessed a penalty from the Farm Service Agency for failing to report the field status for crop year 2024 for the Hatfield-Bowen farm. Although the farm was fallow last year, its status still needed to be reported to the FSA, Newald said. Previously, the farm's tenants had taken on the responsibility of reporting, but as there was no tenant for the idle field this year, it fell to the county to file on time. The county missed the deadline to report, Newald said, and a penalty was assessed. Erke said the Lotus Sportsman Club filed the required reports and paid the penalty on Thursday, December 19th, and the Sportsman's Club's Kendall Diesberg confirmed that to be the case. The committee met December 20th with representatives of the FSA office to clarify what information is needed to comply with requirements in the future. Also on December 20th, the committee discussed the county's non-compliance with the state law regarding noxious weeds. The Illinois Department of Agriculture earlier sent a letter advising of the county's non-compliance to the county board's chairman, District 3 board member Chase McCall of Gibson City. Under state statute, a county is required to establish a noxious weed supervisor and subsequent oversight of noxious weeds in the county, but Ford County has done neither. After discussion, the committee voted unanimously to recommend that the board's executive committee consider appointing a noxious weed supervisor for the county. It's a county thing, Newall noted. It's not anything particular to the three farms. On page 4, we have a picture of Puppy Skunk with the headline, Puppy Skunk's Healing Journey Home for the Holidays. Ford County Chronicle co-publisher and news editor Will Brumlevy's 12-and-one-half-year-old female Cocker Spaniel, Puppy Skunk, is back home, happy and feeling much better after a nearly week-long stay at the University of Illinois Veterinary Teaching Hospital in Urbana, where she underwent surgery on Saturday, December 21st, to remove a cancerous mass discovered in her small intestine. Puppy Skunk is back to her normal self, as she and her family appreciate all the support, Brumlevy said. It was an absolute blessing to have her home for Christmas. Well, that was a story that turned out well, if you'll remember, from last week. From the Moyer District Library in Gibson City, we have a little bit here. Program on Loneliness offered January 17th in Gibson City. The Moyer District Library in Gibson City will host a program on social isolation and loneliness from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Friday, January 17th. Emily Harmon from the local University of Illinois Extension Office will present Don't Go It Alone, Improving Your Social Connections. More than 20% of adults in the U.S. experience social isolation or loneliness, according to recent studies. Those feelings can significantly impact a person's well-being, especially older adults. Social isolation and loneliness can be detrimental to health and happiness, said Harmon, a U of I extension educator. This program offers a chance to learn more about these issues, develop strategies for staying connected, and explore resources available in your community. Social isolation is the lack of social contact with others. While some people enjoy solitude, social isolation can lead to a variety of health issues like high blood pressure, dementia, or Alzheimer's disease. The free program will cover what social isolation is and why it is such an issue. Then, during the program, attendees will receive help in developing a plan for their own social connectedness. Registration is required. And to register, people can visit go.illinois.edu/don't-go-it-alone, and that's capital D, capital G, capital I, and capital A, or they can call 217-333-7672, and again, that's 217-333-7672. And from the Paxson Police Department, as part of their ongoing efforts to reduce child predators. In visit to meet teen in Paxton, East Peoria man, 52, arrested by police. Paxton. Paxton Police Department released the following list of recent activity. Kevin L. Evans, 52, of East Peoria, was arrested for traveling to meet a minor, solicitation to meet with a minor, and indecent solicitation of a child on Saturday, December 28. Evans allegedly started communicating online with a Paxton police officer posing as a 15-year-old girl on Tuesday, October 15, and eventually arranged to meet the teen in Paxton. Evans was arrested during a traffic stop on the Tome Street Bridge in downtown Paxton at 11:57 p.m. December 28th, upon his arrival in town. 2024 Kia Forte that he was driving was impounded by police under city ordinance. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Foreign County Chronicle for Wednesday, January 1st. Donna J. Balk, Buckley. Donna J. Balk, 76, of Buckley, died at 7:13 p.m. Wednesday, December 25th, at her home. Funeral services were held Monday, December 30th at Bear Family Funeral Services in Buckley, with the Reverend Sam Winkleman officiating. Burial followed in St. John's Cemetery, Buckley. Memorials may be made Buckley EMS. Barbara A. Cheek, Rantoul. Barbara A. Cheek, 95, of Rantoul, died at 7:36 a.m. Tuesday, December 24th at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were held Monday, December 30th at Peace Lutheran Church in Thomasboro with the Reverend Michael Stroger officiating. Private burial was at Elmwood Cemetery in Rantoul. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, memorials may be made Peace Lutheran Church in Thomasboro. Beretta W. Dirks, Gilman. Beretta W. Dirks, 99, of Gilman, died Thursday, December 26th at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton on Pells. Funeral services were held January 2nd at the Zion United Church of Christ with the Reverend Bob Lowerback officiating. Memorials may be given to Iroquois County Animal Rescue or to an organization of the donor's choice. Beverly J. Horridge. Beverly J. Horridge, 88, of Fairbury, died Friday, December 20th at her residence. Funeral services were held Thursday, December 26th at the Knapp Funeral Home in Onarga with the Reverend Jim Harkins officiating. Burial was in the Onarga Cemetery. Memorials may be given to the American Cancer Society or for epilepsy research. Peggy Jo Irvin, Paxton. Peggy Jo Irvin, 67, of Sydney, formerly of Paxton, died at 2:17 p.m. Friday, December 27th at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were held Tuesday, December 31st, at Bear Family Funeral Services in Paxton, with the Reverend Ashley Clifton officiating. Burial followed in Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Memorials may be made to the Rankin United Methodist Church. Harry D. Johnson, Loda. Harry David Johnson, 64, a native of Loda and Paxton, died Saturday, December 14th. No information about funeral arrangements is included in the obituary. Judith Crumweedy, and that's spelled K-R-U-M-W-I-E-D-E, Urbana. Judith, Judy, Ann Ledbetter Crumweedy, 65, of Urbana, formerly of Buxton and Paxton, died Sunday, December 22nd at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana, surrounded by her son and several friends. There will be no services. Memorials may be made in her name to the Alzheimer's Association at alz.org. Carol Ann McCabe, Crossville, Tennessee. With heavy hearts, we announce the passing of Carol Ann McCabe, a beloved mother, mama, Jemima, sister and aunt and friend. Carol passed away peacefully on December 25th at her home in Crossville, Tennessee, surrounded by her loving family. In remembrance of Carol's vibrant spirit and generous heart, her family invites friends and loved ones to share in a celebration of her extraordinary life at a later date. In lieu of flowers, family kindly suggests donations be made in Carol's memory to an education fund established for her great-grandchildren. Ms. McCabe, who was 75, grew up in Paxton, and her maiden name was Carlson. Betty A. Sally, Gibson City. Betty A. Sally, 92, of Gibson City, died at 9:48 a.m., Wednesday, December 18th, at the Gibson Area Hospital Annex in Gibson City. Funeral services were held Monday, December 30th at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, with Kenny Chumbly officiating. Burial was in Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorial tributes may be made to Gibson Area Hospital Annex Activity Fund or the Church of Christ in Gibson City. Shirley Louise Yana, Thawville. Shirley Louise Yana, 92, of Thawville, died Thursday, December 26th at the Gilman Healthcare Center. Cremation rites were accorded by the Knapp Rodinius Funeral Home in Gilman, and burial will be held at a later date at the Ridgeland Township Cemetery in Thawville. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. We return to the news now, and a good part of this week's paper is taken up with pictures from the grand opening of the Hutz Family Fun Zone in downtown Paxton. There's a whole page of photographs under the headline, A Blast from the Past. There is a long caption underneath, which includes a lot of the information that was read in the story about their potential opening last week. So we'll do it again. Hud's Family Fun Zone, a retro arcade at 137 Market Street and North Market Street in downtown Paxton, held its grand opening on Thursday, December 26th. The arcade, featuring an estimated 20 original retro arcade games plus pinball, air hockey, billiards, skee ball, and basketball shooting game, cornhole, mini putt, and ping pong, as well as a vintage jukebox, is family-friendly and with no alcohol allowed. Turning now to the area news briefs, Christmas tree pickup set for January 6th in Paxton. Paxton. The City of Paxton will conduct Christmas tree pickup Monday, January 6th, 2025. Food giveaways in Ford County set for January 17th. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank will be distributing food to area families facing food insecurity on Friday, January 17th. Its food mobile will be stationed at distribution sites throughout Ford County from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., including from 9 to 9:30 a.m. across from the Piper City Community Center in Piper City, from 10 to 10:30 a.m. north of the basketball court at Main and Melvin Street in Thawville, 11 to 11:30 a.m. across from Melvin Convenient at 109 West Main Street in Melvin, from 12:15 to 12:45 at Gibson City Hall, from 1 to 1:30 at Elliott Village Hall, and from 2 to 2:30 p.m. on the north side of the Paxton Firehouse. Those attending are asked to bring boxes or bags in which to transport food. They are asked to pre-register at www.eifclient.com, although doing so does not guarantee a place in line. There are income guidelines. The distribution is part of the Food Bank's Food Mobile Program, a system of mobile food pantries designed to help bring nutritious food to rural or underserved area. Also, the EIEC warns members of impersonator scam. Paxton. A person is going around Ford County and pretending to work as an electric cooperative contractor. On Monday, December 23rd, Eastern Illini Electric Cooperative in Paxton warned its customers of a new scam. The impersonator is going around saying they are at people's houses to, quote, disconnect service. In a Facebook post, EIEC said its staff would never show up at your door after hours, on weekends, or holidays to disconnect power, and we never collect money from members at their residence. EIEC is encouraging everyone who experiences such suspicious activity to call 800-824-5102. And that's all the time we have for today's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.